Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Brenda Hoffman. She's an author, prophet and channeler, and her most quoted book is the classic A Glimpse of Your Future, which is also channeled, and we will be discussing that along with her weekly blog. So welcome to the program, Brenda.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much.
Now, where I'd like to start is you've told us that you were an intuitive right from the time you were born. So when did you actually realize that perhaps you were different or you had intuitive powers? And how did that affect your life, if at all?
I realized when I was an adult. Looking back, for example, when I was in school, if there was a multiple choice test, without even telling anybody or even thinking about it, I would automatically flip into, well, I wonder what the writer of this test thinks like. And even though I studied very hard, multiple choice tests are extremely easy for me because I know what the writer is thinking like. And when I used to counsel street people in Minneapolis, that was one of the areas, and I went into corporate marketing. But I assumed everybody counseled as I did that somebody would say something, but in reality, you knew that wasn't what they were thinking or feeling, and you would just ask the appropriate questions to what was happening internally rather than what they were saying on the outside. I assumed everybody did that. So it wasn't until probably my late 20s, early 30s, that I realized that somehow I was gathering information that other people hadn't thought of or didn't experience or didn't allow themselves to experience. And the second part of your question is, how did it change my life? I've always been fascinated with channeling, philosophies, past life regression, all of that. And I assumed at first that everyone else could do it, but that perhaps somehow I just didn't have the skill. And in truth, I believe all of us have that skill. Just some of us allow ourselves to tune into it more than others. And so as I came to that realization, I allowed myself to start channeling, to visualize things, to hear, you know, just all of the pieces that go with it. And there's some areas I have that are what I kind of consider my expertise. I have friends that gather information a bit differently than I do, and that's their expertise, but we're all gathering additional information than we were taught the five senses from the time for eons. So, yes.
Right, so being an intuitive is obviously a little bit different to doing the channeling. So when did you actually start channeling?
Oh, that's kind of funny. I started meeting with a number of women in Minneapolis, where I lived for 25 years, and one of the ladies was a channeler, and I so wanted to do it, but I didn't think I could, and I just kept walking around Lake Harriet, anybody who's from Minneapolis area knows, and thinking, oh, I want to do it, and one day it just happened. So it was more about I allowed myself to open up to that rather than, a big aha or whatever it was. And yes, that lady is still my friend, and we call ourselves dueling channels. I'll channel for her, and she'll channel for me.
Right. So, who is it you actually channel? I mean, do you have a name for the contact?
Ah, you gave the title of my book "A Glimpse of Your Future."
Right.
And that was written in the late '80s. And before I started channeling that book, I just heard something in my head that I was going to channel a book. So I know the researcher that I am. I thought I maybe I should learn hieroglyphics or something. Maybe there's a piece I don't know. And then one day I just started gathering information, And that was kind of gobbledygook. And then, oh, about a month later, I believe it was in January, it just said, today we start our book. And so the channeling that I did in A Glimpse of Your Future was from Eleth, E-L-E-T-H, which, of course, is a part of myself, my future, many parts of my self gathered together. I like to think of it as a group of myself. Put everything aside for 10, 15 years. And when I retired, decided to start a blog, start channeling again, because I love doing it. I needed to take some care of some of the issues that a lot of people are going through now. I did it in the past. So when I started, again, I never bothered to ask. I know Eleth is part of the group, but in truth, the group is my past, present, and future, only larger slivers. The channeling I do now is deeper than it was when I first started.
Right, so does Eleth tell you that that source is outside of the Earth? I mean, a lot of the channels, such as mine, tell us that they come from other constellations. I mean, are you aware of where Eleth comes from?
No, and you know, that has never been that particularly important to me. Very likely from another dimension and from another constellation. I have a friend here in town. I live in South Carolina now, who can actually see entities, Bev Thompson, and she can see them behind you, and she knows what planet you come from, part of your source being. That's not something that I can do at this time, or it doesn't really particularly matter to me, because I just think there's so many dimensions out there, and they're so fascinating that it just doesn't really matter where the source comes from. My belief is that we've all lived perhaps on Earth, on other planets, in other dimensions, and then we just experience bits and pieces of everything. So Eleth entity might be from Sirius or the Pleiades or some other place, or maybe not. And the other splinters of my being the same way, or maybe not. So the answer to your question is, I've never really been that interested, which is kind of odd when you think about it, but I've never, I just know that there's so many pieces of my being that have been in so many different places, and what I'm channeling now is that we're bringing the pieces together more and more, that in our past lives on Earth, perhaps only 10% of our total being has ever been present on Earth, and that we're expanding that percentage, especially with 11-11-11 and October 28th and all of those energy surges, almost on a daily basis. So right. That eventually, yes, and that's part of the ascension process, the new Earth, we're more whole, we're more complete.
Right. Now, you mentioned that at some stage you had some interest in past life regression. Have you ever taken part in that? I mean, have you regressed people?
Yes, I've regressed people, yes, and I've also been regressed myself. Have always been fascinated with it. But as we move into the ascension process, into the new Earth, new age, whatever phrase you want to use, I'm hearing more and more that past life information is, it's almost like we're starting with a clean slate. It's not that terribly important anymore because we're starting with new pieces. So in answer to your question, yes, I've helped people do it, and I used to think that that was a way of helping people clear so many issues, And what I'm getting now, it's almost as if by doing so, you remain in the third dimension rather than moving on into the fourth, fifth, sixth dimension, whatever dimension you're most comfortable with.
Right. Yes, I must say I would go along with your thoughts about that. When you come to think about it, when you move out of this duality, I think you're quite correct. The number of lives you've had, where and when and how, it's not quite so important anymore because it truly is your past, isn't it?
Yes. We have so many new starts. This is such a fascinating time on life that past lives are, or even many relationships you've had with friends and family, truly are part of the past instead of going over and over again how terrible your life was. It's that happened for a reason, but now you're moving into a different place. Yes.
Right. Now, I've read some of your blogs, and that brings up a few, I think, interesting questions. Now, you talk of our Earth transition that is taking place. What do you personally feel it will take place in? What sort of form?
I'm going to do this in two parts. First, I'll tell you what I'm thinking right now personally, and then I'll channel too, because my feeling always is that my channel can give me more in-depth information since I'm still on Earth here.
Yes.
The transition, the way I see it and feel it, is that each of us are doing the transition together but uniquely. So some of us will be more connected to the old Earth in terms of helping them transition. Others will be more ascended, helping from other parts or going into a totally different place or dimension. So if you just hang on just one second, I'm just going to go in and see what we get for channeled information.
Will do.
Dear ones, this transition, this ascension is so important to so many of you in terms of what is going to happen to me. That is the basic question. What is going to happen to me? Am I going to remain in humanoid form, or am I going to turn blue and fly off into Never Never Land? And we will tell you, as Brenda said a bit earlier, each of you have a different piece of the puzzle. Brenda's particular piece is a trailblazer, a way shower, lighting the path. You know, she alluded to, she went through some of the issues that many people are in pain and chaos right now. She did that previously so that when it was time for people to transition, as it is now, she could say, it will be all right. You will make it through and you will like yourself better. Do not fear. It will be fine. But there will be others. And Mike, in all likelihood, you are of a different group. You are those that are going to be of, if in fact the new Earth happens, be of that ilk where you are more separated from the Earth as you know it now, working more with the galactic centers, the different planets, the council. So that is just two pieces of the puzzle. You know, in essence, you're starting an internal revolution. In essence, you're changing not only the world, but all of the universes. And just think in terms of destroying a building, all the pieces that are part of that, think of changing the universes, and then you will understand how each of you has a unique part of the puzzle. You know, you've been getting messages since before Edgar Cayce about this happening. Slowly but surely, you were transitioning, and now it is happening more rapidly. But in terms of what will I be doing? What will happen to me? And that is a question on everyone's mind. Each of you have the answer within you, because there are so many different facets. Coordinating a big event, someone has to find the band. Someone has to have the invitations printed. Someone has to have the tickets sold. Each has a piece to make the whole, and so it is now. Yes. Are there questions?
Right. I think that covers it very nicely. Thank you very much. Now, clearly, a lot of people are awakened to what is happening, but on the same, by the same token, there are people that haven't awakened. Sometimes they are held back by their beliefs. What do you think is holding people back within their beliefs that stops them from moving forward?
First of all, we all have to remember that everyone is a unique individual. Some people's place, if you will, their function, their role, is to stay in the third dimension as an indicator for those of you who are moving into other dimensions, what you don't want to be like. You know, when you think about it, there are still groups of people on Earth, in the United States in particular, who refuse to use farm equipment, cars, automobiles, and whatever. They are still farming, but they are doing it as they did in the 1800s. Now, that's neither good nor bad. It is just different, and so that shall be. The other piece that all of you must remember is that each of you has a role to play. Perhaps someone needs to finish something in the third dimension with a particular person or group of people, or for whatever reason. It's not any of your places to judge someone. Think in terms of some people are so upset that someone has multi-millions of dollars, and then you think of Bill Gates, who is helping so many people with his money. If he didn't have that money, those people wouldn't be helped. Do you see what we are saying is it is not your place to judge? Of course, many of you are angry because in the third-dimensional realm, there is good and there is bad. In the universal realms, there is only lessons. You know, we would suspect strongly everyone listening to this message has at one time killed somebody, harmed somebody, did something, and now you are in a reverse role, so you were saying those people are bad. You see what we are saying is everyone has played all of the roles. It is, you are all in a play together that you have opted in. And, you know, just as a character player in a movie, sometimes you play the good role, sometimes you play the bad role. And that doesn't make you less of a movie star. It just makes you able to move into different directions and different roles, and so it is on Earth. So do not be fearful of those who have opted to stay in the third dimension, either as to help you or because that is part of their lesson. Move forward. Listen to your inner being. You will not be impacted by those people. You know, your governments right now are, in your mind, falling apart. They are unbearable. They do not listen. They do not know what is going on. But you see, if everything was running 70% smoothly, you would have no need to change. Do you see what we are saying is, you know, in the United States, fight for independence did not occur until it was so unpleasant somebody had to move on. And many of you are finding that in your personal life, and that is what Brenda alluded to, happened to her several decades ago. You know, it is, it becomes so chaotic that you have to move, or you feel as if you can't breathe. And that is happening to many of you individually. It is happening to nations. And quite frankly, your shifts are impacting the universes. So it is happening much larger than you think, but it's starting with one cell within your body that is uncomfortable, expanding out, expanding to other entities, other communities, other continents, other worlds, other universes. And so it is. Yes. Are there questions?
Right. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, you have said that the new age has arrived and that we were instrumental in bringing it to the earth and to our being. Can you explain that so that we can understand how we brought it to earth?
Yes, indeed. Is the baby boomers were the bringers of the light, so to speak. That was their role. You know, everything had gone pretty well according to plan up until the 60s and 70s, and all of a sudden the children of that time, who are now, of course, quickly moving into what you call seniors, but the children of that time didn't want to follow the pattern that others had. It was an inner feeling that it wasn't right, you know, and that is where love and peace and all of those thought processes, the rock stars of the 60s and 70s, their messages, their role was to help the teenagers and young adults of those times move into the new age. As a group, the baby boomers decided to try their parents' ways for a few decades, and so they moved into the corporate world, and so they took part in politics, so they did all of those pieces. Once again, those belligerent baby boomers are starting to say, wait a second, I have worked 30 years for this company, or even 5 years for this company, and now they are kicking me out the door, or where is my retirement, or what is happening to this, or what is going on here? So, in answer to your question, it was an inner calling. That was the role of the baby boomers. Now, what we have said several times, and perhaps this will help people understand, the role of the baby boomers in this transition was to create the bridge to the new age. This they did several months ago. The bridge was created. Then the role of their children was to walk across the bridge. And the role of their grandchildren was to blow the bridge up. But the baby boomers, and we must add, there are other people, not just baby boomers, sometimes before the time, and you know, it is not clear-cut that in 1945, all of a sudden, all of those are the only people involved. But that is the largest grouping, so that you understand. But the belligerent baby boomers have decided that they didn't want to go through all that work and all of the chaos and trauma involved not to go across the bridge. So it is moving much more rapidly. And so the way showers, the light bearers, whatever you wish to call them, are moving across it. It is happening much more rapidly. We of the universes are watching in total amazement. We did not think, nor did you, by the way, think that your physical body could cross the bridge. We thought you would stop at building the bridge. In truth, the rapid pace you were going, we watch in astonishment and would not be at this time be surprised if you blow up the bridge. So, in terms of how the New Age started, that was the overall role of the baby boom generation. I know some before, some after, but overall, they did that. There was no need for them to go further, yet their innate curiosity, their very courageous group, you know, said, no, we're going to cross the bridge, and that is what is happening now. Instead of transitioning or ascending or ignoring, they are saying, well, this Occupy movement is quite interesting. Well, isn't this fascinating? I want to learn more about this. As usual, you know, in the 60s, they were the same way, were they not? Yes, are there questions?
Yes, thank you. You have said that people are receiving inner encouragement to help them move forward, and they should know that difficulties will take care of themselves when the time is right. Bearing in mind that we are on the path to ascension, that to me clearly means that the difficulties will be completely overcome. So there is a planning here and a destiny that we could say it is definitely to be ours. Now, would that be a correct interpretation?
Exactly correct. You know, the New Age, or again, whatever term you wish to use, there's so many terms, you know, just like God, Buddha, Muhammad, whatever, meaning the same thing, is the overall peace of the New Age, and peace is P-I-E-C-E, is love. And the secondary peace is joy. Now, if you are traumatized, fearful, in chaos, that does not speak of love and joy. So what is happening, some people have moved through their trauma. Brenda has moved through most of it. There's still some corners that she's looking at, you know, as a lot of people are. Some people are in the midst of their trauma, and some people are moving into it. Let us give you another analogy. The American West, there were the scoutmasters who went first and found the trails. And then the wagonmasters collected people to go across the trails, and then there were the pioneers. So it would be logical that as the entities, the people, the animals, yes, everything on Earth, comes into their part, into their piece, that is where all of their structures will fold so that they can build new ones out of love and joy. And in answer to your question, yes, the chaos and trauma stays in the third dimension. That is a third dimensional piece. Love and joy is, quite frankly, fifth, sixth, and beyond. The fourth is kind of a transition piece. As we mentioned to Brenda in one of her channels, and perhaps this will help the listeners, ask yourself, which dimension is your home? Is your home place? Is all of you are going to, you know, float to the third dimension? Somebody says something to you, and you get angry, and then you're wondering, oh, where am I at? But ask yourself what your home dimension is. That is where you are moving to. It is a very easy process. Some of you will say third. That is fine. That is not bad. Some will say fourth. That is fine. That is not bad. Fifth, sixth, seventh. Ask yourself and you will know. And you are in that dimension for a reason. That is your part of the puzzle. So do not berate yourself if you say fourth is my comfort spot. That is no different than saying, I'm a Pisces or I'm a Libra. You know, neither one is good or bad. So please allow yourself that flexibility that it is not, if you were a third dimension person most comfortably, you have things that you need to do yet. If you were in another dimension, that is fine too. Allow yourself that freedom. Yes, are there questions?
Yes, obviously, with free will, not everyone will accept this opportunity to ascend. And there will be numbers who will stay in the third dimension. And would some of them be rather concerned that because of religious teachings that they might suffer some form of hell or damnation?
Yes. Of course, that is a third dimension belief, isn't it? you have been, that belief has been promoted for eons, of course. There will be some people too afraid to take the step. But then again, remember there were some people on the East Coast who were afraid to travel to the new land, to the new country. You know, again, that is neither good nor bad. It is just, yes, the religious beliefs are so deeply ingrained in all of you, even those of you who are not practicing any religion. In North America, there is a Protestant ethic that is deeply ingrained. In South America, it is the Catholic belief system that is deeply ingrained. Now, you do know that the church is going to falter, all structures are, just as you are seeing governments now, so that it is not bad to be part of a religious group, but as you are, you will find the need to shift it, to change it, to make it more real. And some people will say that is blasphemy, just as they did in the Middle Ages, and other people will say how wonderful. If you remember, Mike, in the 60s and 70s, those people who were involved with religious denominations, all of a sudden, guitar music was introduced, and that was, oh, so exciting and so terrible for some. And now that is a common practice in so many denominations. And so it will be, but we will tell you the academic structures, the government structures, the religious structures, any structures that have crystallized, and not in terms of the crystal grid that you are all talking about now, but become like stone. You know, it is this way or no way. All of those structures will fail, just like of a building. The structures that hold up the building are knocked out from under them, the building falls. And so that will happen to all of the structures. You know, you are surprised with the governments that have, all of a sudden, they're gone. Or what happened? It just happened so fast. Or in the United States, we're hearing about the scandals with some of the school systems that the athletic program has become more important than academia, even though their creed, their foundation is learning. Do you see how those kinds of shifts are going to happen? Sometimes it will happen overnight. Sometimes it will take more time. The correction system in the United States, you know, the United States has more jails, more prisons than just about any other country, and yet obviously it has not shifted the belief patterns that much. People are still committing crimes and still being sent to prison. And so we're saying all of those structures are going to shift and fade. And will there be some people that refuse to change? Yes. In the religious dogma is probably going to be the most difficult for some people. Just like some religious leaders insisted for decades, hundreds of years after explorers knew the world was round, the earth was round, that the earth was flat, because it did, they needed that to keep the populace under wraps, if you will. So, yes. And we have commended you subconsciously, perhaps in your mind, about your introducing the galactic spaceships coming in. And they're not necessarily spaceships, by the way. They're all sorts of forms, from single entities to spaceships. It is just easier for those of you still in the third dimension to think of it as spaceships. But all sorts of forms and formats, yes, they are coming in, and that is the belief process. Perhaps you have heard that at first Native Americans did not see the ships coming to the United States because that was not in their belief pattern to even know what they were. So It took them a while to realize what was happening, and so it will be with your spaceship or entities. We do not like the word spaceships. That is antiquated. More entities in their own form of transportation. Yes, questions, please.
Right. Now, what advice would you give to people who feel that they would like to follow the path to ascension, but somehow feel uneasy about it or have some kind of fear?
Listen to their inner being. Don't move faster than you feel comfortable doing so, but at the same time, allow yourself to move. But again, you know, maybe it isn't time for you to light up literally yet. When it is time, the fears will just fade away. You know, think of yourself when you were 18 and trying to decide what to do with your life. Very fearful time. What do I do? What do I do? And there was just a day when you knew you had to decide. You had to go out and get a job. You had to go to college. You had to get married. You had, whatever it was, you took that leap knowing it was time. And so it will be for those of you who are fearful now. Don't judge yourself. Just allow it to happen naturally. It will happen. It will happen. Brenda, when she was 13, was wondering what was going to happen with her life. At 13, who knows, you see? And by the time she was 18, she knew. So at least pieces of it, not all of it, of course, but pieces of it. Yes, question.
Yes, so there has been mention of, in this present period, of people beginning to feel lighter. What would be the reason for that, and is it useful?
Yes. Is light body, light workers, that has many connotations, not only light from the outside, but lighter inside. Yes, your DNA is most definitely changing. You are adding more strands as you become lighter. You will have, and many have written about the DNA changes and channeled, rather. And also, you will be interested in different foods. But again, we must caution. Do not think that, oh my goodness, now I must meditate facing east. You see, what we are saying is with your foods, follow your body. Maybe you need to eat beef for a reason. Allow that to be. But at the same time, there will be a point where you won't want such heavy meals. It just will make your body uncomfortable. And so, organs are shifting and changing within your body. Your DNA is increasing because, you know, as you move into your home dimension, a fifth dimension entity is much different than a third, a heavy third dimension entity, because a third dimension entity needs to stay on Earth. All of the universe knows that, universes rather, that being on Earth is not an easy assignment. And most of you listening to this recording and reading Mike's channels, you are volunteers. This is not an easy assignment. But as you move into your home place, your home dimension, you will allow yourself to be lighter. So not only are you changing on the outside, so, little light of mine, shine, the old Sunday school tune is quite correct. There will be a shine about you on the outside. But also, inside your body, you're getting lighter. Your physical body is changing. That is what the universes are so amazed at, is that you are actually doing that while still living in the third dimension. The accolades that we need to give everyone listening, everyone reading Brenda's blogs, Mike's channels, are, we cannot even tell you how amazed, astounded, impressed, and overwhelmed we are with your skill set, your energy, and your willingness to jump off a ledge. Yes, question. Mike, you channeled so much. This is Brenda. I'm back again. Is you channel almost every day, which is just phenomenal. Yes. Just the writing process alone. People who do not channel blogs don't understand it. If you are like me, it takes maybe 20 minutes to channel the information, but then you have to do spell check and all of that. And by the way, I'm a terrible speller, so that takes time. So, yeah. How do you have the energy to do all of that? Does it take most of your day, or is that your life goal right now? So I'm curious about that. I'm so impressed with what you provide people.
I think it is my enthusiasm for doing that type of work, because I know how much it helps other people, and I was obviously destined to do that type of work. And it's also, I think, a matter of working in a particular way so that I know exactly what to do, and it becomes quite natural. In other words, it doesn't really put me under any stress, because obviously I'm used to it by now. As with you, when you do this type of work, you inevitably get lots of emails with people with different types of questions. I must confess, that takes up quite a bit of time, and I do try to deal with every one. I suppose since I retired, this has really become my job, if I may call it that.
Well, and actually, I'm retired too, Mike, and the same thing with me. I love channeling. I just adore it. It is, to me, it's like an encyclopedia or a library that's readily available. I always wanted to be a librarian, by the way, but it just, how fun just to, because when I channel, I most often learn something too, and that so it's fun for me to find out what's out there, what pieces of information. And before I did the show today, I asked that it be information that'll help your listeners, whatever they needed to hear. And I'm guessing you do that too. And yeah, I like you, I just love doing it. I just I could do channeling all day long. It's just fun. I really enjoy it. Yes, and it's, and like you is, and I don't, I think you termed it a bit incorrectly, because I don't think of what you do as work in your mind either, or job, as much as just how fun that I get. I have the time and the energy and the resources to do it. Is that how you feel too?
Oh yes, yes. When I refer to it as a job, I'm really saying, I suppose, that after I retired and I found this outlet for my energy and desire to do something for the light, it's almost become a job, because I have to work at it every day.
Yes, yeah, yeah. There's something happening every day. And I'm just, aren't you just fascinated with the number of channels that it's just like almost every day there seems to be a new channel with new sources of information? Isn't that fascinating?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. Sometimes I wonder how the people that contact me manage to keep it going, in the sense you begin to think, well, how can they say something that's a little bit different from what they said last week?
Now, that one I understand, is because I read a lot of information, as you have to, because you send out the blog, but you know, in A Glimpse of Your Future, which was is most definitely a precursor. All the stuff that we've talked about is alluded to in the book that it's going to happen. But what is happening is I write in one voice, you write in another voice, somebody else writes in another voice. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been asking in several different ways what happens to the people who aren't interested or don't find an interest in it. In A Glimpse of the Future, it said something, and I'm paraphrasing badly, you have to have your head stuck in the sand not to have access to the information. So either you do it telepathically, reading somebody's channel, there's so many YouTube things going on. It's just all around you. So if you're at all interested, perhaps somebody doesn't like what I write or how I write it, but they love what you do. Mm. And so, because we're all in essence saying the same thing. It's all about love and moving into peace and joy. And how we get there is the different channels and whatever. And I bet you've noticed too that some channels are obviously speaking to somebody who's at the very beginning stages. And other channels are much more into those people who have already said, well, yes, I want to be part of it, but what happens now? And that's exactly what I said was going to happen. And so to me, it's just delightful. That means we're in the thick of it. It's real fun.
Absolutely, yes. Now, I must ask you one question about your book, Glimpse of the Future. What do you recall as major changes, say, within the next 1,000 years?
Well, we're going into a different age, the age of Aquarius. You remember that delightful song? Mm. That's so true. And, of course, it's going to be the feminine energy. Many people have talked about that. And it's an age of love. One of the things that might help people understand, and I wrote about in the book, is age of Pisces was Jesus, and that was a much more loving god than the god before, the god of Aries, the first 2,000 years. You know, if anyone wants to read the Old Testament, first of all, the books of the Bible have many varying messages, but overall it's very punitive and very nasty. And then we moved into the age of Jesus, which is a bit more loving, but still there were shoulds and have-tos. We the people, and I love that phrase, we the people create our God. And as you know, people are saying, well, we are God, we are part of God, we're a cell of God, we're part of the universes. That's the age of Aquarius, you know, that creating something new. So that was one big piece. The other piece was what I talked about, all the structures were going to fold, and that seemed really quite unrealistic in 1989, and now, of course, it's happening. So those pieces were going to create our own God, and that we are going to move into the age of love. It's very poetic. It starts at the beginning, you know, and then moves through all of the different phases from medicine to corrections to the education system. They're all shifting. And there is one piece that I've recently channeled in my blog, but I want to restate it for the listeners. Before you start a revolution, make sure you want to live with a change. And that was written several times in my book. And we started the revolution, and so now we're living with the change process, and I find it really exciting. Some people might find
absolutely,
it
yes. Now, Brenda, we're coming into the last 5 minutes of the program, and I do want to give you a few minutes to tell our listeners about your blog and your website address, so perhaps you'd like to go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yes, my blog is free, and I do a weekly blog. It's at www.lifetapestrycreations.com, www.lifetapestrycreations.com. And I also do a 15-minute free radio show, usually every week. And sometimes the information, I do the radio show at the beginning of the week and then the blog later, and sometimes the blog augments what's said on the radio show. Sometimes it's completely different messages. But both of them are free. I'm lucky enough not to need donations or whatever, so feel free to go and take what pieces feel comfortable and ignore the rest. And again, my blog site is www.lifetapestrycreations.com. Yes.
Right, is that it?
That's it, yes. It's just go there and take what you need and feel free. Mike, if you're interested, he does Dreamweaver 333, and oh my gosh, the information. Sometimes, Mike, I don't have time to read all the pieces every day because there's so many. But for those of you who are interested, go out and sample. See what feels right. You know, I don't know, Michael, if you're like me, but when I started, there were channels, you know, 20 years ago that were like cotton candy to me, and now I find them kind of boring. And as I evolve, who I like reading or who I feel comfortable with evolves also. And so the same for the listeners. Allow themselves, if it feels good, do it. I always tell everybody, you can make a decision this way, is if it feels light and bright, move towards it. If it feels heavy, run as fast as you can.
Right. Now, I take it your book is available direct from your website as well?
Sure. Well, and actually, is go ahead to Amazon.com, www.amazon.com, or BarnesandNoble.com. It's available on both sites. It really is a great overview and starting point. I have to send it to you, Michael, but I've sent it to people and they just say, well, how did you know that 20 years ago? And it was obviously, again, I'm supposed to help people understand what's happening. And now I do it with a weekly blog. Yeah.
Great, yeah. So I think that's wonderful. I'm just about reached the point where I've got to save myself a minute or so to announce next week's guest. So I must say, it's been very interesting talking to you. Thank you for doing your channeling online. I've certainly noticed the difference from the Brenda to the Brenda channeling.
I know. It's a Brenda channeler, I suppose it would be, right?
Yes, right. Well, that was very good. I enjoyed that, and I'm sure my listeners did as well. So thank you very, very much for coming onto the program.
Thank you for having me. I told you I love channeling, so I had a great deal of fun today. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, friends, next week I have a person called Roar Shepherd who wants to talk about his book, The Universe Speaks, which is from conversations he's had with the messenger from the Pleiades, who he says has imparted some startling and important knowledge that will affect and guide humans in profound ways. The full title of the book is called The Universe Speaks, The Love and Pain of 2012 to 2025. So that should be another very interesting interview. So thank you for being with me today, and I hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you very much.